There are an estimated 10 to 20,000 private contractors working overseas for the Defense and State Departments, many of them in combat zones. The Bush administration says the outsourcing is cost-effective and necessary. Critics question the accounting and the accountability of privatizing parts of national security. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports.
Private military firms generate an estimated $100 billion a year in revenue from contracts with governments and others around the globe. Private contractors now help the U.S. military and State Department with everything from security and satellite mapping to laundry and food service. Doug Brooks represents several private companies that do security and peacekeeping work. He says the contracting allows a downsized American military to focus on fighting terrorists, and he believes ultimately saves taxpayer dollars.
We have, in fact, a leaner, meaner military than I think we've ever had since the Cold War, and it's, in fact, cheaper and more cost-effective. And the reason it is because they outsource so much of the mundane services to these private companies.
But not all the jobs are mundane, and some critics question whether the outsourcing is really saving money. In some ways, the Reston, Virginia-based DynCorp and its parent company, CSC, epitomize the multifaceted world of privatized military contractors. DynCorp employees do everything from guarding Afghan President Hamid Karzai under a State Department contract to making vaccines for smallpox and anthrax. The company has also received Pentagon work for military transport, logistics, maintenance, and more. Peter Singer, a foreign policy fellow at the Brookings Institution, says DynCorp CSC is now the 10th largest contractor for the U.S. government.
It's all over the place. It's a very large federal contractor that captures some of the trends that we're seeing in this industry.
Since 9/11, more and more contractors are in harm's way. Three DynCorp employees, for example, were killed in the Gaza Strip recently while guarding the convoys that carry American diplomats in and out of the West Bank and Gaza. In September, a DynCorp subcontractor piloting a flight over rebel-held territory in Colombia was shot down and killed, and DynCorp employees have been injured in bomb attacks in Iraq. It's not clear how many private contractors are currently in Iraq. The Pentagon says it doesn't track that number. One estimate says there are well over 10,000, which would make contractors one of the largest de facto coalition partners, a force bigger than the United Kingdom's Iraq contribution. Doug Brooks says private warriors are working and sacrificing alongside U.S. troops.
They are basically giving up normal life for 6 months, a year, or 2 years, and they do get shot at a lot, and it is an issue. They're living in tents. They're taking the same risks as the GIs that we're sending over there.
They may be sharing risks, but the public hardly knows about it. Slain contractors are not counted in the official tally of the U.S. war dead. We don't know how many private contractors have died in Iraq, Afghanistan, and elsewhere because the companies and federal agencies won't disclose that. Peter Singer says that secrecy carries over into accounting and oversight. DynCorp, for example, now has a State Department contract worth an estimated $50 million to provide U.S. police to train a new Iraqi police force. That's a vital task U.S. planners are banking on to improve security by quickly turning over more police duties to Iraqis. But it's estimated that $50 million contract could expand to some $800 million under the recently passed spending bill for Iraq. But neither the company nor the government will confirm it. In the mid-1990s, DynCorp had a similar police training contract in Bosnia and Kosovo. But their contract in the Balkans, Singer notes, brought the company some notoriety after allegations were made against some DynCorp employees for egregious sex crimes.
Not just frequenting brothels and the like, but actually, quote, owning underage young women, and even their Bosnia site supervisor videotaped himself raping two young women. None of these employees were ever criminally prosecuted because of confusion over what their legal status was.
DynCorp eventually fired the employees involved in the sex crime scandal. The company also had a bitter and unsuccessful court fight with one of the women who made the allegations. Singer says typical of the world of private military contractors, the scandal didn't seem to affect DynCorp's standing in the marketplace or with the government.
The company never faced a price for it. They leave it up to the firms to fulfill the contracts and do what they think is best and have minimal oversight and minimal vetting. And that's not smart business. And we're talking about military services here, so we should be interested in it. We should have this kind of oversight to make sure that we're getting the best deal out of it.
The U.S. State Department and DynCorp officials repeatedly declined to be interviewed on the record, saying the contracts don't authorize them to talk to the media. Efforts to get specific contract documents from the State Department and the Pentagon were turned down. Charles Lewis, director of the nonprofit Center for Public Integrity, says that's typical in the murky world of government war contracts with private industry. The center recently spent 6 months investigating the cost and politics of a wide range of contracts. Lewis says details of too many of them remain hidden from congressional and public oversight.
We don't have transparency, bottom line. In the 21st century in the United States, we're giving out hundreds of millions of dollars and billions of dollars in contracts, and we don't know who's getting the money, how much it'll cost, and how many years it'll take, and what essentially they're doing, and even who are these people. We're kept in the dark, and it's really incredibly offensive. The State Department, in 6 months of Freedom of Information requests, did not give us anything. Zip.
The government says it's still working on the center's requests. The center has now filed suit charging the State Department with noncompliance with the Freedom of Information Act, spurred in part by the controversy over the giant no-bid Iraq contract granted to Halliburton, Vice President Dick Cheney's former company. The U.S. General Accounting Office is investigating the process, planning, and oversight of private contracts for work in Afghanistan and Iraq. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Washington.